Hi there. Welcome to the Dialogue on Digital Rights for Media Practitioners. My name is Roland Yagaba, and I am the founder of Mwado. Mwado is an African social network that is working to ensure that creatives on the platform earn from their content. I am also your host. This is a documentary-style podcast where we'll take a deep dive into the experiential divide between women and men in media while they're conducting their work online. You will hear views from 7 different Ugandans in the media industry on this topic. But due to the pandemic, the interviews were carried out by sending voice notes recorded using phones. So if some of the sound is not that good, please understand and forgive us. This podcast has been made possible with support from the Women at Web Project, which is under the Collaboration on International ICT Policy for East and Southern Africa, also known as CIPESA, or CIPESA, depending on how you pronounce it. Our other partner is Phoenix Reason, whose empathy workshop framework we have used for the interviews. So now I will let our participants introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Kanara Mugume, and I am an investigative journalist with NBS Television. I'm also a radio show host on Next Radio, political show called The Big Talk. I'm also a podcaster of two podcasts, one called The CoronaCast on coronaviruses and lessons we've learned, and The Election Podcast, one on politics. And that is about the 2021 general elections in Uganda.
My name is Caro Aliek Bayanga, and I am the managing editor for the digital section, digital content at the Monitor Publications Limited.
Hi, my name is Danze Edwin John, aka Dijan. I'm communications and media personality.
My name is Yvonne Injuna. I work with New Vision as a sub-editor. I have worked on TV, I have worked on radio. Now I'm working with print media.
My name is Emmanuel Sejengo. I'm the editor of The Kampala Sun. The Kampala Sun is an English language tabloid of New Vision.
My name is Sima Chakuhede Sabiti, and my background in the media has been quite varied. I have been a radio presenter. I have been a magazine editor. I've also worked in the marketing department of Uganda's biggest media house, as well as working in their online department.
My name is Eva Zanye, Ernest Bazanye. I'm a former journalist, currently everywhere, consultant, writer.
This is episode 2. From the responses to the word associations in episode 1, we realize the different words can induce a lot of different responses. Now, in this episode, let's dig into the digital histories of our participants. All right. Welcome all of you to the podcast. Thank you for agreeing to participate in this. Let's dive straight into the question. Can you tell us about the evolution of your interest and activity online as technology use and access has shifted over the years?
I started blogging in 2005 when no one had a blog, and it was just too much. I really didn't expect anyone to read it. I would just write like an ongoing series of tales, fictional tales. They would just make up stuff about this. This was actually the first time BCG had street protesting. So I'd run up. I had a story where BCG stands for president, doesn't make it, and I'm having conversations with him when. Basically, like 200 word blog posts, which were really ridiculous. Like, I go to his house and say, dude, what happened? I thought you were going to be public president by now. And then you write a blog post about him to about a month. So did I, man. Can you imagine? I can't believe these people didn't even vote for me. Then finish that blog post. And the second blog post is going to be about, oh my gosh, the BCG, I've come to tell you that. We're going to have a recount. Maybe this time we'll win. Now, if you don't win this recount, then I'm sorry, man, but I'm going back to Museveni camp. And BCG is begging me, come on, dude, I need you on my side. I need the supporters. And it was very stupid. It actually ended up, there's a point where we actually ended up in DRC, in Congo. It was pretty stupid. It was just rated nonsense. It's really made up. It was just mostly for the jokes. And it's quite daft. Anyway, then blogging actually picked up in Uganda, and I changed and began actually writing a blogging material which I felt my newspaper editors, because I had a newspaper column at the time, my newspaper editors might think is too edgy or too beyond the pale, I'd throw it on the blog, you know, a bit of experimental stuff here and there, and that's what I would do. Oh my gosh, you know, someone is somewhere, and I hope this isn't being picked up. Blogs became a bit more popular, and mine did too. It was working out well. Then, of course, it's social media, and social media algorithms came along. And at this point, I've always had this. Let me call it a suspicion. No, I'm not going to call it a theory. I'm going to call it a suspicion. I have a suspicion that people are only interested in a column or a writer for 2 years. Then their interest tends to wane. They look for a new thing. So what you need to do is, I think the reason why newspaper columns has succeeded for that long was that every 2 years I'd have a new batch of people, but otherwise I really didn't expect more than 2 years. Even to this point, the stuff that I put online now, it's the same thing. Like the people who, because I will restart my blog and, you know, try and maintain it for a period of time, and then I'll get distracted, or I'll have to run away and look for money somewhere, and so I'll be neglected to disappear. But the next time I come back, different batch of followers, not the same people. Anyway. And I think that this is because of the next issue in the next point of evolution on the internet, and this is social media. We reached a point where people were not going to blogs or to their favorite websites directly, but rather were following the Twitter, Facebook links. And so what your social media recommends is what you go. So people would not come to my blog unless they have seen the link on their Twitter feed or on their Facebook feed. Then the Facebook algorithm and trending topics came and changed the frequency with which my links appeared, and I didn't want to trend Jack, as you know, after trends, because first of all, I'm growing older, and I really don't think that I'm able to catch up with the younger guys when it comes to trend jacking, especially if it's purely pop culture or lifestyle. I'm never going to catch up with these guys, so I shouldn't be, I can't even be chasing them. Secondly, I'm really not very interested in a lot of the things which are going to be trendy. So, for example, right now, what's trending right now? There was a police raid on a hotel in Mukono, where an orgy was being held, and a man called Jerome was photographed and his face and this was about him posting all over the internet, all over social media. now to get a successful blog post. I'd have to blog about that, and I really don't want to, because I mean, first of all, it's just difficult to be funny about a topic like this. For me, I mean, for other people it has been very easy for them to be funny, because some serious stuff has come in. It's difficult for it to be funny for me, because first of all I'm thinking of is, okay, how many people gave each other COVID in that thing? Also, since when, what kind of Stalingrad do we live in, where it's where the police can come in and determine who has sex with who? Why do we have a law that allows the police to interrupt you if consenting adults choose to have an orgy? Other consenting adults may frown upon it and say that these are sinners, and say that they themselves will never do such a thing. But the fact that the police can come in and arrest you and put your photo, your face on the internet for everyone to mock, it's just this is coming at a time when we are still more with the bodies of the form. Basically, this is kind of a time when it's very difficult for me to find jokes to make about the abuse of people's rights, especially at a time like this. So I cannot jump on that trend. And this is election time, you know, most of the things which are trending are things that just not amusing me. So I try not to trend. I can't trend jack. As a result, my appearance on the TL shrank. That was my evolution. I think I need to evolve. I just don't know what I want to do next, because am I going to keep blogging? Because I really think that I'm done with blogging. 700 word pieces. I'm really more. When I write now, I end up usually write 3,000 words plus, and usually what I write is something which isn't. No, like for example, you know, you've seen how all the voice notes I've been sending have been very long. Yeah, I don't seem to. I don't have brief thoughts anymore, and the things that I want to blog about are kind of more involving than making jokes about how a guy had too much Nguli mixed with a guy got Nguli and mixed it with pineapple juice and ended up in a ditch. And that was the excuse he gave to his wife as to why he was found in that ditch with that hooker. Basically, I really don't seem to be able to do that stuff anymore. So that's, I don't know what the next step is. I really have no sense of what my future is or what I'm doing next, because, this whole year has really, I think it has really scared, really shaken a lot of us who had, you know, the kind of confidence that most Ugandans had in what their futures were to be like, that next year I'll do this, and next year I'll do this. We've suddenly been made aware of just how difficult, just how fragile that stuff is. So now I guess most kind of get scared of making plans, no longer see the future. So I don't know what's next. right now I'm just writing and just want to make sure that I keep producing and seeing what happens. So I don't know what's going to, I don't know what the next step in the internet is going to be. We'll see. But that's how my interests and activity online. Oh, this is 12 minutes and I still haven't. I didn't even mention that I actually moved from writing to little video comedy skits. I did a comic strip. I've done quite a bit of my evolution has changed since. But yeah, that's just me and how stuff has changed. The more access people have had, the more I've chased it, but now I don't know what's next.
So my story about my interests and activity online is interesting because for the longest time I was not very keen on being online, and when Facebook was the rage, and when sort of the rage in Kampala, you could say, I had access. I had so much access. I mean, I was working with a media house, we had internet, but I was just not keen on getting onto Facebook. In fact, I wrote a couple of articles where I was just like, no, in the newspaper, I thought, no, I'm not interested in this thing, and these are the problems I have with it. I was just not interested that much. The platforms that I ended up being interested in were Twitter and Instagram, but I did not want to interest myself in Facebook and WhatsApp. But my husband, I remember he was very keen, and he kept on telling me, you cannot keep rising in your career and not be on these platforms. You have to get interested in them, you have to understand what they're doing and what people are speaking about. And I remember what pushed him to get me onto WhatsApp was when our group had my family had my siblings created a WhatsApp group for the siblings, so that you can keep catching up, because we're in different places. A couple of us stay here, a couple of us stay out of the country. So they wanted, one of my sisters wanted us to keep in touch and say, guys, let's keep in touch, let's see how each other's are doing, let's share, you know, photos and stuff like that. It's much easier here, which made a lot of sense, but I wasn't on it. So she got my husband to represent me, and she'd say, whenever, you know, just keep updating Carol. So my husband thought this is ridiculous. So he just got my phone. I didn't even have a smartphone, I'd refused. But he got me one. Created all these platforms for me, put me there and said, there, you're on WhatsApp, you can get Twitter and Instagram, you've got to get on Facebook, I won't do that for you, you have to do it, of course, because you have your different preferences, but you have to be on this thing. And there I was. So I started to engage in those platforms and to understand them. I still have preferences to this day, but of course I'm on all of them, just to understand how they work. And because of the role I have, and the role I got was also really interesting. When I was still managing editor for the daily paper, that's the Monday to Friday, and our MD at that time, Mr. Tony Glencross, spoke to me and said, you know what, Carol, we need to get someone who manages our digital platforms. Digital is rising, it's growing, and we do have platforms, but we need to have someone who sits and thinks and breathes and understands these and is planning for them, strategizing for them, sort of thinking forward and saying, what do we need to do, where are the spaces we need to get into, and keep a tab on them and actually be responsible for them. And he said he wanted me to be that person, which was a privilege for me, and he told me, go and think about it. So I don't want to tell him, I'm like, let's start today, I don't want to necessarily think about it for different reasons. But I said, fine, let me think about it. Spoke to my husband, he said it was a wonderful idea. That's how I started. That was in 2015. And initially, the idea for me when I got the job was just to ensure that the platforms we had were working. So our website, Daily Monitor, and then our social media pages, Facebook, was pretty much Facebook and Twitter, just to ensure that, you know, we're doing well and the numbers are growing and that kind of thing. But of course, as time went on, as, you know, the digital wave sort of caught and was riding,
we began to realize we need to do more than just ensure that our current platforms are doing well. We need to do different things. So I have found myself in my role having to create new products, both in the social media, create new products like new websites, new, you know, do things like do those new things that so that we can see our audience is interested in this. We've had to get into spaces we hadn't been before. We hadn't been really practicing in much. For example, we were really focused on Facebook and Twitter, but now we've got into Instagram, we've got into LinkedIn, for all our products, not just Daily Monitor, for all our other products, to sort of see how do we get our readers to, are they interacting in these spaces, what do we need to be doing there. And also I had to spread my wings and not just look at Daily Monitor, but look at all our other websites, Scoop, the entertainment website, My Wedding, which is a new product we created, the KFM website, the Dime FM website, and the e-paper as well. So we've had to look at those things and see how can we grow these platforms, what should we be doing, and then also to test various things and sort of see can these things work. Some of the things we've never really done but are trying, and seeing, you know, can podcasts, you know, interest people? Are people interested in podcasts? How do we go about them and things like that. So that has been my journey in the digital platform, just seeing and understanding how these things work, trying to do a couple of, you know, trainings and understanding digital and the importance, and learning different software and how they work and how I should be interested in them. But very importantly, working with a team that understands the products and, you know, listening to them, because my team are they're versatile, they're young, very, very young, which is good because the young people are very interested in digital. So listening to them and hearing from them what is out there, what's growing, what's interesting. And my other team members, my fellow colleagues, my fellow senior editors and managers who I also work with, and who we, you know, debate and say, can this work, can this not work, let's give it a shot. So it's been a period for me of a lot of growth, because this was an area that I did not know much about, but I stepped into because it was an interesting challenge, and I find that every day there's a lot to learn and to unpack. So that's been my journey really in this digital world.
Okay, let me find a simple way of approaching about the evolution of my interests. My interests have changed over time based on the trends that are currently existing. For instance, one time I'm into music, kind of a different kind of music. Another time I'm into a different kind of movie or genre because of, I guess, how the CG is or how the ratings are, or how they're aggregated on people's platforms, or what the algorithm is dictating for me to see at that particular time. Like those scenarios whereby you're going to order for a burger, you type in burger searches on Google, and then somehow on Twitter you'll find a couple of messaging about the same exact thing, especially for you to see because of the interest that you put there. The evolution of my interests and activity online has majorly been dictated by that technological aspect of things. New social media platforms have cropped up, and I found myself migrating from, let's say, Facebook to Twitter as my main interest or my main platform of communication, because of the nature of the platform and the discussions and the level of maturity that may be on those platforms. So I'll present that narrative, and then in terms of shopping and consuming content, consuming products or services, I think that's also evolved in a sense that I prefer to have a review of the things I'm going to buy before I can. So I'm going to be drawn to platforms that have good user interface, whereby I can see the product in all its forms, front, side, back, etc., and maybe a video example of that product. Also, the communities on the platforms have evolved in a sense that they're very informative but also very opinionated. So I'm more drawn to platforms like that. That's how the interests and activities online have changed. And technology dictates that if you have a smartphone, you're going to have a different experience when you're using, let's say, iPhone or Android. I've been experimenting with the two things. So it's just a deeper dive into the whole internet of things and etc. yeah, then technology use has and how it has shifted over the years. I think over the years we have become more consumer. We become a more consumer oriented being. There's a series on Netflix called The Social Dilemma, and it clearly explains how everything is as if intertwined in one web. We're literally living in our web in our real life. So the Internet of Things, we're connected almost in every platform. You're probably going to have your smartphone on in your car. You're going to be listening on YouTube as you drive through jam, or your car is also connected to Wi-Fi, and your car is also connected to your smartphone, and etc. So technology can only be as boundless as possible with the new innovations, and there are really smart people out there, even here in Africa. So the shift has been exponential. I look back at what I used to do in 2011 on the internet versus what I'm doing right now. For example, we're having a conversation. I'm sending you these files over WhatsApp. The platform has evolved in a very, very, very big way. You can send documents on it. So it's like for a company like Next Media, most of the projects that we run or coordinate, we run them on WhatsApp first, because you can share the documents, they're reviewed, they're approved, then you could continue and then officially put it on email. So the technological shift over the years has been exponential, and for the good, I would say in a larger scale. Yes, there are very the cons inside there, but the pros have been a lot more. People have more access to information. They can make wiser decisions. They can make better investment plans. They can travel to safer places. They know when to move out of their homes. They know how to treat their children. You can do CPR right now because the lesson's on YouTube. And we're able to see a lot more these days than back in the day when we simply had to listen and read from a book. Right now, you do your own experimentation and you put your content out there, and your opinion may become the it kind of opinion. And yeah, I think more voices can be heard right now because of technology, and more opinion, more policies have been passed much better. Look at what Marcus Rashford has done in the UK for the children that were hungry. Policies were able to be changed because of social media and the togetherness that it brought along. Same thing with South Sudan and Egypt, whereby nations were changed completely because of social media togetherness. And yeah, for public figures, radio personalities, TV hosts, etc., technology has also allowed them to reach more people when they get off air. So you're always connected 24/7. I don't think we ever switch off. Even if your data is off or your location icon is off, for some strange reason, you'll still be mapped somewhere. So yeah, that's what I think about that factor of evolution of interests and activities and technology.
Truthfully, when I had started using technology, specifically digital communication, say social media, I was excited. I was quite excited, but as time went on, the excitement kept, you know, coming back down. Maybe you would find that all the time I'm on social media, or at least I will not pass an hour without checking social media. And well, yeah, my interests would be maybe gossip, who has done what, maybe chat with friends like Facebook, because I didn't like really immediately join Twitter. I joined it much later when I had, you know, grown old. But Facebook, yeah, long time ago. But what would bring me on Facebook then would be to respond to messages from friends and see who has posted what, and even the things that I used to find really humorous. Well, things change. We grow and our interests keep changing. So I am now today. When I go on social media right now, I'm looking for news. I want to know which company has done what. I want to know which company has lost how much money. I want to know which company is suing which one over a debt. There's just so many things that, you know, changed in regards to my interests or my online activity. Maybe if I join, for example, Instagram, I want to see who is wearing what, because I have interest in fashion. I want to know who is doing what, who is wearing what material they used, where did they buy it from, and things like that. But long time, like when I just joined, I would just go to see a photo, maybe admire it, and then photos were not even that, well looking. But now I just go there and even critique a photo and say that, you know, they could have done it like this. Like, basically, it's just go and understand things, or why people do things the way they do them. And when you fail to understand them, social media gets boring, and so you end up, you know, leaving.
Hi, my name is Kanaram Gume, and I am an investigative journalist with NBS Television. I'm also a radio show host on Next Radio political show called The Big Talk. I'm also a podcaster of two podcasts, one called The Corona Cast on coronaviruses and lessons we've learned, and The Election Podcast, one on politics, and that is about 2021 general elections. Empathy. In each and every story that I tell, I see empathy, because I am one person who believes in being truthful and not neutral. It's even written on my Twitter bio. I believe that when a story is about someone whose rights have been violated, abused, or stepped on, I should not try to create a moral equivalence and try to seek the other side in the same way as I saw it for this person, because their rights have been stepped on, and their rights are given to them by the Constitution. Why should I create a moral equivalence? So what I do is, empathy comes to me. I step in the other person's shoes, and I feel like this is a story I need to tell from their point of view. Because why should I try to create a false narrative that does not exist? So in each and every story I tell, empathy comes up.
I really wasn't so interested at first in online, especially publication. I come from a bit of a traditional age, but circumstances and trends forced me onto it, and when I started, I got very excited. There were new challenges, but it was easier and less stifling than the traditional kind of publishing. So that was when I came to Kampala Sun. That is when I started online activity for the company, is to post on social media, Kampala Sun. And then first it was strictly on the laptop, also on the desktop, and I moved to using the phone oftentimes to be able to publish in real time. So that's mostly about it. The other disturbing thing about the evolution is a matter of legality. In Uganda, it's not yet clear on how to go about copyright issues, especially infringement. So if you post your picture on Facebook, when I use it with credit, yeah, can you take me on? And I pay damages? Facebook seems to say, well, it's our property and you can use it. But in Uganda, it's not clear. The last time I knew, there had never been such a case in court. But we are still cautious about it, because it's hazy ground. So others do it freely. They get one picture from Facebook, you see it all over. Now, for us, we have challenges. You see something interesting and you want to use it, then, you first have to go to your bank and look for a picture of that personality, which carries nearly the same meaning of what the text you want to post. So, in that, you usually post last. You are too cautious and you usually post last. Also, it has evolved so fast, and for people who are still care about fact checking are seemingly lagging behind. So if say an accident happens and I want to post about it, I need to first confirm who was at the scene. Does the police know about it? Can I confirm from police? That takes time. So usually by the time you do it, you get a person who was a witness, who did. Others have already gone way ahead of you, individuals, but even other publications using their online platforms. So yeah, for us, I feel the evolution has, for others, it has been a revolution. Us, it's still an evolution. It is slow because of the legal issues.
When it comes to the evolution of my interests and activity online, of course, I've been on email for a while. I may be sharing my age when I say that I think had an email address on most of the main email, I don't want to use the word platform, but I've had a Hotmail address, I've had a Yahoo address, of course right now I've got a Gmail address. There's even a time I remember when getting your own email name was free of charge. But then of course when Facebook came along, Facebook was great for me as someone who I didn't study in Uganda, and when I moved back to Uganda, Facebook was a great way to stay in touch with my friends from school and see what was going on in their lives and share what was going on in my life. Much as now I would definitely define myself as a Twitter fiend. I love Twitter more than any of the other popular platforms out there, more than Facebook, more than Instagram. I was not a fan of Twitter initially because I didn't really see the point. But when I got into Twitter, that was, I think, 2009. It was because of a co-host of mine who told me, look, the beauty of Twitter is not so much who follows you, but who you follow. And he said, look, just look for people you find who are interesting. Follow some of your favorite celebrities, just to sort of get a peek into what they're thinking or doing at the time. And that's what I did. And it worked for me at the time. I was doing a breakfast show on radio. It was a great way to connect with people without too much clutter. Even now, much as yes, I am on Facebook, I am on Instagram, I feel that there's too much pressure. Attach a picture or a video, or you've got to say a lot more, whereas Twitter at the time you were limited to 140 characters. Of course that has changed since, but I liked it because you were able to be direct, to the point, succinct, no nonsense. And to this day it's still my favorite app. And I've met a lot of very interesting people through there. I've done some business deals through Twitter and just really interacted with some incredible people and been part of incredible projects, charity projects. We've raised money on Twitter. We've found people on Twitter who've gone missing. We've started causes or been part of causes. So in terms of my evolution of my interests, I did not like Twitter at first, but it's definitely now my favorite. That's how things have shifted for me over the years.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks once again to our participants for agreeing to be a part of this, and thank you to the women at Web Project under Cypessa for making this happen, and for Next Reason for allowing us to use their framework. Catch you on the next episode. I remain Roland, your host.